Hello. Today is September 4th, and it's the news. We're here.
And still dying.
Wendell, just, we got water bottles on our break, and I was drinking out of one, and Wendell just grabbed it and started drinking out of it, so he's got an extra dose of germs now.
I was already infected, so.
And this just happened 2 weeks ago, and I know it's going to happen again, and it's killing me.
I've avoided it right before my wedding, and then... this is like payback.
This is like
avoiding it.
What's that movie where people avoid dying?
But then something terrible happens.
Yeah, death won't let them go.
Final Destination.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
We've been jet setting all of the coasts that we have all of the strains of the flu in the office this year.
It does seem like everyone's gotten sick at least once this year, which doesn't usually happen. But
just hoping this Lysol.
Yeah, we've got Lysol over here.
But I'm sure it's the 0.01% that's got me. The one that it can't
do. Do you feel scratchy? Because for me, it started with a scratchy throat.
I do, but, you know, that's kind of like when you watch something that has to do with, you know, spiders or whatever.
Your head feels itchy.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's talk about unions. Last week, we talked about the YouTube union, and that looks like it's maybe going to happen because YouTube is not willing to give in to any of their demands. But that's not the only big tech company that might be looking at some unionization.
Google contractors are unionizing with a steel workers union. So this is pretty cool, actually. So this is happening in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh. So, yeah. These guys talk about being the shadow workforce of Google. And in one case, Google was like, yeah, our AI totally did this project. And the contractors were like, wait...
Excuse you? What?
That was us. It's like, no Google employees worked on this. This is all AI. And the contractors were like, what?
You're artificial. You're not real.
Like the Indians who were doing those apps.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yes, AI. So they want equal pay, obviously. Cause they say, hey, we're doing the same work. We have the same skills as Google employees, but we're just not getting the same pay or benefits. And we want both of those things. So, it's a question of how replaceable are these guys? Do you think they really have as much skill as the regular Google workers?
I'd say they probably do. The issue is that the tech field is so full of people constantly coming in, like fresh out of college, who are probably like, oh, I'd love to work for Google. So they'll probably work for next to nothing.
I was also, did you guys see that story? There had been this huge operation, and they finally pulled the trigger and raided the homes. I think it was auto workers unions. And they found just tons and tons of evidence that these guys were getting paid by the industry hand over fist to give them good deals with the unions. So the union members were suffering while the union leaders were getting showered with gifts and money.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And they all went to jail.
Of course.
So unions are definitely a double-edged sword. A lot of people don't like to hear that. And the other thing that is changing in the world of labor is Chinese labor.
The mass exit.
Yeah, all of a sudden, people are a little questionable about China. Now, it started, of course, with Trump, because tariffs hurt your Chinese goods.
We cover this a lot in the other episodes of the news, like the last episode this week, talking about the government stuff. It's just, it's a mess.
But also now Hong Kong.
Yeah.
A lot of people are getting real tentative about what's going on over there. It's not a good look. And if your product is associated with that, now that we have this, you know, activist culture, that could really hurt you. That could be a backlash against it. So what do you do?
Google to shift Pixel smartphone production from China to Vietnam. Look at that.
A country with poor workers' rights to another country with poor workers'
well,
rights.
Well, they point out that the Vietnamese have already been working in some of these same kinds of settings, you know, these factories, and they have similar skills as the Chinese people. So, yeah, they're poor, sure, but they're good at making phones. So, hey. And they mentioned, was it Apple that had already gone over there?
Mm-hmm.
There was one other company that's already, like, heavily moving into Vietnam.
Don't forget that Google also said that they were going to fully roboticize, if that's a word, smartphone production with the remnants of Motorola. That was, like, in Texas? That did not materialize.
Those robots are exactly like the AI. It's actually just Vietnamese.
Do you think that will be a push for any smartphone maker to, like, have factory conditions that aren't absolutely terrible?
No.
No, because that phone's going to be $2,000.
Yeah.
Well, the phone's already $2,000. The phone's going to be $5,000.
So the thing about Google, if you're a Google executive, that you have to worry about is every week there's a new subset of Google employees who are furious. Of course, now we've already got the contractors this week. Last week we had the pregnant women. Before that, it was the left wing, and then it was the right wing, and then it was the people who are upset about China. Who else? Who's on the list next?
Jennifer Blakely, an ex-Google employee, calls out the culture of sexual misbehavior that started at the top. So, in a blog post, Jennifer Blakely says the chief legal officer, David Drummond, made her life hell. If any of her claims hold water, he's not going to have a job.
Yeah, but what's his name at Intel?
Brian Krasnich.
I mean, do you think Google is wildly different than that?
And no.
The corporate structure? Because these aren't the guys making the chips.
Yeah.
This is a whole different kind of animal.
Yeah.
That's working in the, you know, offices.
This was a legal department, and it does say that when they found out about her relationship with him, that she had to go to a different department, which was sales, and said she didn't enjoy sales, so her life became miserable, and then she didn't have a job, and then because she didn't have a job, she felt shackled to him, and then it just turned into a mess.
I missed this story. So, like, was she dating this guy consensually?
Yeah, for a while.
That's why you shouldn't do that.
Or be aware of the risks that come with that.
Huawei, we know, has been under the gun of the government. And recently, we've seen them back off a little bit, and are like, okay, well, maybe you can buy some parts for the next 90 days, and maybe we won't attack you all of a sudden. But there is one thing that has happened. The time has run out, and this is going to hurt them.
Huawei's next phone will not have Google apps. So it could have Android, but no Google apps.
Or the App Store.
That's crazy.
That's big. I mean, what good is an Android phone if you don't have the App Store? Or the suite of Google apps?
Yeah, that seems like a nail in the coffin.
Now, you could do all these things through the web. That's still true.
This might actually be good news for China. They could just have WeChat and WeBrowser and Wii App Store, and the China will just control everything.
Yeah, but where are you going to sell them outside of China?
Google don't care as long as they get their royalties.
I guess so. So, yeah, they've talked about if the Android thing falls through, they're going to go to their own OS. But don't you think with this, you still have to do that?
Yeah.
How long can you survive without the Google apps?
Probably not very long, sadly. As there are third-party ROMs that do without the Google apps, but then everybody always puts them back, which you're not supposed to do.
And speaking of things not getting into the U.S., there might be even more things not getting into the U.S. soon.
Oh, CNET's got the lawsuit against TSMC could block new devices from entering the U.S. The lawsuit seeks to block the importing of devices that have offending chips inside, including Apple, Google, OnePlus, and Motorola gadgets. So, Global Foundries, GloFlow, in New York, is saying that TSMC, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Corporation, TSMC, has been manufacturing stuff that violates the patents of Global Foundries, that these patents are not licensed. TSMC's fired back and said those accusations are baseless, but, you know, it's a weird situation. Think about, like, AMD processors, which have both GloFlow and TSMC silicon in them. So I'm sure AMD's sitting in the middle here is like, girls, you're both pretty. But,
I love you.
It's Lisa
reasons.
Sue.
Yeah.
Well, so they should just argue the same as the whatchamacallit case.
Qualcomm?
Qualcomm, yeah. It's
yeah.
Like, oh, none of that matters. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to have licensing.
This is a developing story, and I am sure that we're going to cover it many, many more times in the future, but it is going to be interesting to see. Global Foundries does have some very specific claims as to their patents, but TSMC is in, like, full war mode, so it's going to be interesting to see how TSMC responds to the allegations. I don't have an opinion as to whether or not what's going on. I don't know enough about the technology yet, but I'm sure we'll have those stories.
Well, it's going to be that time of year where everybody's announcing their hot new fall lineups in anticipation for the holiday and rabid shopping season that's coming up. And we have Microsoft telling us about the new Surface.
Microsoft announces a Surface event on October 2nd in New York City. And this article is rife with all kinds of speculation and clickbait nonsense because that's what we do now. It's like, the piece of news here is that there's a Surface event in October. We don't know anything more than that. Nothing is leaked. It might be a dual screen device that's coming out. We don't know.
But what if it was?
Why do people even... How is this profitable in this news cycle? Like, this is just...
Oh. This is the verge of
technology. And all the comments will be complaining about it, but they all read it.
How can you be on the verge if you're not speculating? Cutting edge.
That's why you're here, isn't it? For those terrible puns.
So, yeah. At least we know that we are getting a new Surface of some description.
It needs to have dual Thunderbolt ports and something less ridiculous for the connection between the GPU and the tablet part than that little connector that'll cause a blue screen if you rock the machine the wrong way.
While we're wildly speculating, do you think they'll do something better with like their pens?
Yeah, they need to improve their pens.
Since they just released like the Apple Pencil, will they try to compete with that, or do you think they'll just leave it alone?
I would say Microsoft has missed the boat on this. Like, one of the things that I think they need is like the whole angle of the pen thing, because that actually is legit cool on the Apple Pencil 2. But I think Microsoft's asleep at the helm. I don't think they're gonna. Well, if that'll be the sea change indicator, like the bellwether thing.
The pen?
Yeah. It's like, does the pen...
If they come out with one, maybe we'll do a review of it.
Does the pen have the angle sensor? If it does, they've tried to put some engineering into it. And if it doesn't, it's just garbage.
I don't think that you should... Don't invest based on that advice.
Yeah. Don't invest on anything we say.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, if I can't get you excited about the Surface, how about a hot new kind of Wi-Fi?
Wi-Fi 6 will upgrade your workhorse wireless network. 5G is great, but this Wi-Fi update will help you out with sooner with faster speeds and longer range at home, work, and school. You are going to need a new router at home, but a lot of devices shipping today have Wi-Fi 6. A lot of the new AMD motherboards have Wi-Fi 6. A lot of the new laptops have Wi-Fi 6. It deals better with interference. It deals better with, you know, sort of the edges of like your house. And it also supports mesh networks better. So future, you know, routers, it's like it comes with the main unit, and then it might come with a couple of satellite units that you can scatter throughout your house. The access point mesh situation is going to be much better because that Wi-Fi protocol was designed with mesh in mind.
Most importantly, faster, because you need to move bigger files, because now you're watching 4K, right? Now you're moving all this big data across your house. Your refrigerator is moving a lot of data, you know?
He's got some Russian's Bitcoin wallet on it. He needs to be able to get to your fridge at any time.
Yeah, if your coffee maker is going to mine Monero, it needs faster data.
Sous vide, the heat from the sous vide machine.
Oh, they're going to crucify you for that.
Yeah, I didn't say that right.
Sous
vide.
I thought it was vide, too. It should be vide, right? It's much better.
Yeah, I don't know. Sous vide.
It's sous vide, yeah.
Well, we've talked about Disney Plus, and
we also pronounce Versailles.
So. Yeah, well, that's the
but
Kentucky
that's official.
Way.
Like the Kentucky Versailles is Versailles, which
if
I
you're talking
like.
About French Versailles, it's Versailles. But
is it though?
So Disney Plus,
how the French pronounce it?
We talked about they are coming in with a low price and a big package. You get Hulu, you get Disney Plus, and you get what was it, ESPN something, and they're looking to be disruptive. But they're also looking to kind of walk back some of the things that make streaming so unique. And I think, personally, I hate this. And I think people are going to really dislike it.
Disney Plus to release episodes weekly. A welcome break from stress binging.
Welcome. Yeah. Let's take an option away from you. Oh, isn't that a great feature?
I could see how this would be, like, this would make sense from a business standpoint in terms of, like, production. Because it's like the production crew is working on one episode at a time, and the production crew will release one episode at a time, and that's fine.
Well,
you want to be able to like produce a cohesive season, though. Like, well, yeah, it's more work up front, but like at least then you catch any like continuity errors, like when you're doing a full viewing, like before you release it.
I'm thinking about like Star Trek, and so they would always shoot, like they would start shooting video like super early, and then when they started releasing episodes for the new season, they weren't necessarily done with the episodes later in the season, but it was all pretty much shot, and it was just like special effects and getting the stuff together and that kind of thing. But yeah, if you could, if like if the entire season of Star Trek came out at one time, that would be preferable.
Of course it would. Now, TV Line, which may be a little industry biased, they were talking about kind of from a perspective of the streaming service themselves, because this keeps your subscribers subscribed.
Yeah.
Now, if I can watch, you know, I got this Boba Fett series. If I can watch all of that at one time, I'll just cancel, right? If that's the only thing I care about.
That's what people did for HBO the last season.
Yeah, and I'll come back in when you give me something else that I'm excited about. So this prevents that.
Disney's evil.
Who? I don't know anybody. Even people who really are into Disney, I don't know really anyone who's excited about this.
Parents. Parents are super excited about
that.
Oh my God.
Because I have friends who are parents, and all of them were like, I'm not paying for this. Like, no.
But it's cheaper than Netflix.
They're not paying for it.
Not we'll see. In it. We'll see. They're talking that shit, but they're going to do it.
Most of them are like, time to go back to pirating.
Pretty much.
That's illegal.
We would never recommend that at Level 1 Techs. Though we understand.
If you work in technology, you got to keep on learning. It's always learning something new. And we have all these new avenues of doing that. And lynda.com is one we've used in this office for... probably
years.
10 years now, right?
Yeah, it's been a long, it's been there for a long journey.
And it was good, and then Microsoft bought it.
Yeah, it's been less good since then. And now it's about to get a little worse, according to ZDNet. Microsoft is moving lynda.com users to LinkedIn Learning, and not everyone's happy about it. It's hard for me to imagine a company less ethical than LinkedIn.
And we qualify as people who are under the umbrella of not everyone.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are under the umbrella of not everyone if they understood what was really happening under the hood here. LinkedIn is terrible.
It's just
terrible.
Poorly designed, confusing.
Also, they had some...
It's a data leak waiting to happen.
Data leaks. Didn't they have one?
They did, several, actually.
Yeah.
Some of them have flown under the radar, but it's just like, good Lord, people.
So, that's just disappointing. That's Facebook-level behavior right there.
Yeah.
And I don't care for it. So... we should boycott them.
Engagement challenge. What are compelling Lynda alternatives that have similar information? And don't say Lauracasts, because that's just Laurel.
I kneel at the altar of Stack Overflow.
Well, that's not the same.
It's not really. Not at all. Especially because like every time you go to Stack Overflow, it's like, why are you doing it that way? Why don't you just do it this way instead?
That's like feeding your pet nothing but treats.
You know? It technically feeds them, but...
short
it doesn't
term,
really nourish them.
It's useful and it's easy, but you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so Amazon. Amazon, if you'll remember, was looking for a new headquarters. And that was some big, big money. So a lot of different municipalities were in the running and they were really excited about it. And New York was one that seemed to be, on one hand, welcoming Amazon, and with the other... stabbing them. And Amazon didn't like the stabbers, and they had a very unique way of dealing with that.
Business Insider says that Amazon reportedly kept a burn book of all the mean things politicians said about it. Now, I think the New York Times is the one that actually saw this, so this is a story about a story, which is sort of
well,
weird.
Well, because, you
also,
know what?
Just using the word burn book here.
Are you thinking of burn book as like people who are excommunicated from a thing?
No. When I was in middle school, the girls had a burn book, and that, or a, I can't, was it a burn book? Yeah, and it was like just a binder. It had every girl's name written in it in your grade, and then people would write things on their page. And then a lot of times mean things were written in the burn book.
Well,
and
this is...
I was not popular enough to really warrant a page in the burn book in my eighth grade class.
But this is kind of slightly the opposite of that, I guess.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's confusing. Why it's bad...
but it's, in a way, they wrote down the names of all the politicians and then listed the times that they made them mad. So it's kind of the same
thing.
I guess
it's kind of. What a strange thing. Who knew that was a thing that still existed?
It's hard for me to imagine, but, you know, if Amazon had a large enough contingent of executives that were, peppering people in New York with stuff, it probably would be good for all those executives to be on the same page. And perhaps a wiki-type document would be a good way to keep everybody on the same page. Like, you know, you got all these C-suite executives, you know, like 20 of them that are working on this New York headquarters project. And it's like, okay, here's what happened at the meeting that nobody else wanted to go to.
See, this is, that you're just making it sound logical. I'm imagining that same composition book from eighth grade, and it's got like hearts and sparkles on it. It's like burn book.
Are you telling me that Amazon is being run by, you know, teenage girls, basically?
Yeah. And then, you know, like, Sharon is a fugly slut is written in one of the first pages.
Cortez is a slut and has syphilis.
I'm pretty sure that's already been posted to Twitter by politicians.
Do not trust her.
But ultimately, Amazon didn't go to New York, so I guess they can throw away the book. Although,
or it'll get banned from
the article
school,
points
like
out that they haven't said that they're not coming back.
I'm sure that when it comes time for Amazon to allocate election money,
yeah,
that book will come into play. So we talked in the last episode about the Ring doorbells and how ubiquitous they are. We now have 400 police agencies that are part of this Ring program.
And growing fast.
It's like a multi-level marketing, except it's the cops.
Your data.
So the way this works is they sell you a Ring, the cop talks you into buying it, and then they get a kickback. But then Amazon and the police agency work in tandem to convince you to let them look at your Ring data and use that for law enforcement. Now, you have to say yes, but what happens if you say no?
The Ring organization has given police stats about users who said no to law enforcement requests. Not just no, but also people who just ignored the requests. So, yeah, it's like, I guess you need to know if you're doing well in terms of getting all of the available Ring data, but that seems a little disingenuous.
It seems like if things were to get really bad, Hong Kong? that list could be used to round up people who aren't with the party.
Yeah. Did you see that they were spraying protesters with blue ink so they could be arrested later?
Yeah. I mean, it's
terrible.
It's smart in a despotic kind of way. Yeah.
I mean, does that mean like every citizen in, I don't know.
Yeah, like what if you're just walking by on your way to work and...
Well, yeah, they attack the...
It's organ harvesting for you.
Well, yeah. They attack the train stations and the airports, right? And it's like, what if I was just flying that day? How do I not get caught up in that? It's terrible. So, advertising. We live in a world where people are sitting around, and it's just like, what else can we inject advertising into? Literally anything can be used, but... Every day there's a new frontier that you wouldn't have thought about before, and this one is, it seems obvious in retrospect, right?
Yeah, it really does. NPM has banned ads in the terminal. So this is the JavaScript community, Node Package Manager. JavaScript's community has had a negative reaction to a recent experiment that kills potential avenue for funding open source projects. This is nobody, like, okay, so Linode and LogRocket sponsored this, and they have since pulled out. But this guy had written a library, like a helper library, that was used by a lot of people. And so he's like, okay, when you add this to your project, I'm going to pop up an ad in your terminal. And it's like, you shouldn't do that. But that's actually kind of clever.
Now, what he did is he made the ad thing a separate library. So you could actually get it for yourself. And you could run your own project through this. I don't know how it took payment. I guess it was just like, he had some sort of...
It's probably an affiliate link. That's what it looks like there.
So,
like LogRocket.
He thought that this was going to be some revolutionary new way to fund open source projects. But it was maybe just a little too invasive. And people turned against it really quick.
At least it didn't steal your Bitcoin wallet. I mean, that's what's happened in the past.
Yeah, but...
This is less terrible than that.
It might be a slippery slope.
Yeah.
When you start thinking about ways that people could... use libraries to slip into their project? Like, how far are we from a Monero miner?
There was that scene in... that's happened, too. It's funny you mention that. There's that scene in Futurama where, like, you know, it was, like, one of Fry's first nights in the future, and he's like, oh, that's crazy. There was an ad in my dream. And it's like, didn't they have ads in your time? And it's like, well, yeah. I mean, they were just literally everywhere, but not in my dreams.
Yeah, with that Neuralink thing.
Yeah.
We might not be that far away from that. Uber and Lyft and the gig economy is another point of contention. It's another group of people who are trying to unionize, who are fighting back and saying that they're being taken advantage of. And they actually had this giant protest, which seemed pretty effective. At least it brought both Uber and Lyft to the table. Now, these people want to be recognized as employees, not contractors. Uber and Lyft said, we're not going to do that, but we'll throw you a couple bones.
Uber and Lyft propose a $21 an hour minimum wage for drivers after a wave of protests. I feel like drivers around here would be like super happy with that, but if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, that's probably bad.
Or New York.
Or New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, here that would be incredible.
High cost of living is definitely going to kill you there. But the thing about it is, around here, the volume isn't there.
Yeah.
So
and most people just do it like on the weekend or something.
So where a place where you're going to have constant work, $21 an hour. Yeah. Of course, those cities have people who work at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Some people are making it work. I don't know how. But the other thing they said is, quote unquote, some kind of benefits. Like they didn't even bother to try and, you know, it's going to be the lowest tier, whatever we can get.
Free
you.
Auto insurance?
Tickets to Kings Island once a year.
A contest in a raffle to, or a ticket in a raffle to win tickets to Kings Island.
One free MRI. And one free ultrasound will be given away every month at a raffle.
Perfect.
As we said, it's new tech season. And if you're not hyped about the Surface and you're not hyped about new Wi-Fi, perhaps, just perhaps, a new iPhone?
Apple will launch an iPhone 11 on September 10th in Cupertino. They're expected to roll out the iPhone 11 Pro.
Oh, man. How close were they to unleashing the iPhone 11 on September 11th? And they were like, oh, we probably shouldn't do that. Do it the day before. So, yeah. Is this going to be the Pro, or is this going to be different?
Yeah, rumor has it there's going to be a Pro and some other things. We did not get an invite, obviously. But a lot of other large YouTubers definitely did. This might have, like, the Mac Pro conceivably go on sale.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Just in time for the fall.
Are you guys ready for fall?
No, waiting, kind of. I'm ready for the fall's temperatures.
Yeah, it's very hot here.
You know what's not ready for the fall? My lawn.
What do you have to do to prepare your lawn for fall?
Not have it be dead from a drought. Oh, and speaking of Apple, now here...
I kept trying to find the catch in this.
Well, I think I saw the catch. But first, let's talk about the headline.
Apple reverses stance on iPhone repairs and will supply parts to independent shops for the first time. The only thing that I saw that was slightly untoward is you have to complete an Apple training program, but they don't have to be Apple certified repair shops.
Not only do you have to complete an Apple training program, but they claim that you have to be like in good standing with Apple. And if you get a lot of complaints or they feel like your work for whatever reason is not up to par, you will lose your designation. So they're kind of gatekeeping this.
Yeah.
I don't want to dilute the brand, is what you mean.
And these do have to be out of warranty. Mm. So if it's something that they could get under warranty at the Genius Bar, even if it's like simple and they're like, I don't want to drive 5 hours, just do it. I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Wow.
So it's something though, right?
Yeah. It's something. That really should have been the title of this.
Is it? I feel like it's a Trojan horse, but maybe not. Maybe the Apple was like, look, if we don't do this, the government's going to be here and nobody wants to wake up the government. So let's do this because this is less terrible.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely could be that because right to repair could be a 2020
platform thing.
Yeah. I think
2019's almost over. That's so weird.
So we have seen from Intel, at least, the struggle, the real struggle of squeezing out more smaller capacitors. How hard is it?
Well, transistors.
Transistors. AMD seems to be doing better. But we're still, you know, we're kind of hitting a cliff here.
AMD's doing better with TSMC to the point that the other girls are suing there.
But we're still not getting the kind of advances year after year
no.
that we used to. So what's the solution? Well, perhaps a series of tubes.
Ars Technica says that this 16-bit RISC-V processor has been made with carbon nanotubes. Clever tricks around works around major hurdles, but it's not a route to high performance. So this chip's not fast. RISC-V is not a fast ISA yet. But for embedded systems and crap like that, it's actually pretty amazing. This is a microprocessor made with carbon nanotubes, and it's water. It's like around 1 megahertz or 2 megahertz. It had the speed, I think.
It was not fast.
No, it's definitely not fast.
It was also not easy to make because the old way we thought about doing it was growing the tubes where we wanted them. It turns out those tubes just do whatever they want. You can't control them. So the new way of doing it, just grow the tubes, and wherever they end up going, build around them.
So with carbon nanotubes, it can be a semiconductor or a conductor, metallic. So those are metallic nanotubes. And no matter what we do, we can't get the purity of semiconductive carbon nanotubes above like 99.9%. So they tried a whole bunch of different configurations of transistors and found a transistor configuration made out of carbon nanotubes that was more tolerant of the metal tube. So now we're designing with the defects in mind. And that actually produced a reliable working circuit, which was like the scientists, like some of the quotes from the scientists were like, we were kind of surprised we got it working as quick as we did.
There are also some crazy things where they'll build them vertically and then go in and dope them where they need and then build another structure on top of that and then shear that all off to get rid of the stuff they don't want. It's very involved to get 1 megahertz. So can this grow exponentially and become the new way we do chips?
At this rate, it's going to take about 30 years, which is makes me sad. I don't want to be
still be alive.
I don't want to be stuck at 5 gigahertz for the next 30 years. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, well.
You'll see it. Right before we all die.
So, last week, we talked about the report that vaping will give you some crazy disease.
Like swamp lung. We got a lot of angry.
I was just going to say that. The vape army came out. Now, do you think...
Vape nation.
Was it the vapors? Or was that the seemingly million of people who have these little vape shops all over the world?
It's probably people with vape shops, but there was, like, the biggest piece of information that was missing from the previous article is that so far, it seems like everybody that's affected by swamp lung or whatever the hell that was were using aftermarket parts or trying to do like the cannabis thing and get like THC infused oil or whatever, and that's what led to swamp lung.
Now we know somebody who buys Chinese vape juice off of eBay.
We do. My husband actually got one of the things described in this article.
Really?
He got one for the plane, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant he had the disease.
No, he doesn't have swamp lung that we know of. He actually has managed, it makes me angry because he's managed to avoid getting sick. We sleep right next to each other every night. He just sleeps like a baby. And
it's that vape.
He's got some sort of immune buff.
So anyway.
So there may be more to that story. We don't
So the thing about it is, Juul actually, it's not part of this story, but Juul actually came out and was like, maybe you shouldn't be vaping under certain circumstances. But anyway, that's not what this is about. I just wanted to mention that because, you know, the vape people, they'll come out there. It's like the
come at me, bro.
SJW people, you know, they'll come after you. But this story is about Juul, and we saw this over and over and over with the tobacco companies. This is the chink in the armor where they will destroy you if you are one of these companies. And it's just playing out again.
The FTC is reportedly investigating Juul over deceptive teen-focused marketing practices. And it's definitely working if the
totally
local college campuses are anything to be judged by.
Oh, so many vapors.
Even high schoolers. I visited one of my younger cousins, and one of her friends came over to pick her up, and she had one of the little... I was like, what the hell is that? And she was like, oh, it's my Juul. It's what I smoke.
They are very small.
They're very tiny.
Look at them.
Yeah, that's about the size of the one the girl had.
Do you think this is something that TechSpot put together? Because this is a very, like, you know, youth-focused collage here. So anyway, the big point of contention here aside from their advertising, which I don't think that's official Juul advertising.
No, it's much cooler looking than that.
But one of the things they did was they went after influencers. Mm-hmm. And they paid people on like Instagram and I don't know where else, but you know, social media to be like, oh, hey everybody, here, it's me, your boy. Just hitting my Juul, you know. And they're saying that that is totally focused toward children.
Yeah.
Now, Juul comes back and says, we did that for like 2 weeks. We paid him $30,000, and then we stopped. So, get off our backs.
Damage was done at that point, though, because I do know high schoolers who...
I think that'll be enough for the FTC to hang them.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look at like the smoking cartoons. Remember those? That was just scary.
I mean, the smoking was...
Everyone, yeah.
Smoking advertising was, there were no rules in the beginning. It's like, 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Marlboro. And they did.
The 90s, it was starting to change. Like, I remember people were starting to be like, oh, smoking's gross when I was a kid. But
yeah, but that was, 40 years later.
Yeah.
SpaceX. Oh, man, I had a good intro for this one.
And you've lost
it. I forgot it. So here in this office... One of the most dreaded things that you can say to somebody is, let's hop on a call.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You want to see everyone, like, disperse immediately? Just say, like, hey, we have a meeting. Or, like, we have to hop on a call.
I do not want to hop on a call, ever. But...
doesn't accomplish anything, because everybody remembers something different.
What if we enter into a
no
world...
one takes meeting minutes.
...where the new phrase is, let's hop up to space.
SpaceX launches Starship Hopper on a dramatic test flight. So this is literally just a test rocket, but it's the size of a truck. But that's all it is. It's literally just the rocket.
Yeah, so this is a big platform, and it's much larger than the Super Heavy. And you put all the stuff that you want in space on that platform, and you hop it up there. And then that thing just floats right back down.
Neat. Pretty cool, it right? Didn't explode or kill anyone. Good job, Elon Musk.
Although...
not the engineers, Elon Musk.
Although, the next story, this made me angry.
Police sent explosion warnings to residents near SpaceX's South Texas launch site ahead of there's an ad blocker.
Ad blocker. It looks like you're using an ad blocker.
We actually covered this last week, but it told people, it's like, go outside because if the rocket explodes, it could be bad for you if you're inside your house and the shockwave hits. It's safer if you're outside.
Well, it didn't have to necessarily explode. If they had to do like a evasive maneuver or whatever, if they had to fire those rockets to 100% for any reason, it had been shown to shatter windows. And if you were inside the house at the time, the pressurization thing would be like a Hellfire missile. You know, it's like probably put your eardrums out. But they didn't just send out a memo. Law enforcement went door to door. And it was like, here's the time that this is flying. Do not be in your house. And we're going to be checking. I said, who says?
Hey, they elected to live near the space rocket test facility. No,
they bought their house in the 60s knowing damn well that Elon Musk was going to be launching a giant rocket.
That damn mad genius.
So that should not be allowed. I'm all for moving space science forward, but not at the cost of dragging people out of their homes.
It was kind of funny, though.
I mean, what if that would have happened? And we had some kind of event where all the glass was broken in one night.
Wait
a second.
I've decided that every week we do data leak stories. And it's always the same story. So we're just going to burn through them real quick. We've got three this week.
Go.
It's the breach of the week. Company behind the Foxit PDF reader announces a security breach. Did you pay for Foxit reader? Do you have an account on their website? Your data's in the wild. Your IP address, your name, your credit card number, whatever.
Oh, it's terrible.
Verdict. Exclusive Teletext Holidays. That's a UK travel agency service. Data breach has exposed 212,000 customer call recordings. So you don't even have, you can be the Luddite. You can be the world's most amazing Luddite. Just because you talked to them, there was a recording on a bucket somewhere.
You know who's going to love that? The Facebook and Apple AI voice.
Yeah,
recorder.
It can be trained on that.
And finally.
It was sensitive data from a U.S. anti-terror program, and terrorists could have gotten to it for years, records show. So this was like bioterrorism alert. Like, in what ways are we most vulnerable to bioterrorism? It was prepared as a handy guide for terrorists on a website, And if a terrorist had downloaded it, it probably would have accelerated the terror program like years and years and years.
And that was our week in data breaches.
Oh, breach of the week. Like, why did this happen?
Oh, no.
And now on to something a little more terrifying, which has to do with iPhones. But here's the terrifying part. This has been going on for years. And if you were one of these people, which was, it was totally random, by the way. A lot of times when we talk about something this complex, it's like, well, they're just going to go after the spies and the state people and stuff, right? No, this was random.
Google says hackers have put monitoring implants in iPhones for years. This was amazing. This is The Guardian doesn't have the technical details here, but the technical details on this are incredible. This compromise of the iPhone happened entirely in RAM. So if you rebooted your phone, it would no longer be compromised. But they were able to, because it was in RAM and it was chaining together a bunch of different exploits, they were able to read your keychain and extract your private keys from your keychain and read stuff from memory, which could have included things like your plain text passwords and anything that you entered on a web form, the websites that you go to, your email traffic, literally anything on the phone because it was living in RAM.
And how do you get this? You have to download an app?
Nope. Just it's visit a web page.
Now, also...
Thanks, Safari!
I don't know if they ever found one that actually worked like this, but it could have easily been used as a dropper as well.
Yes.
Which would have made it persistent.
Yeah.
Because then they could have put malware on your phone, although then it wouldn't have been as invisible as it is. Because the reason this has been going on for years, nobody ever caught it, is because it was in memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was nothing to catch.
This is Google's paid, like, Hacker One team or whatever, like the paid external, like Google, like super security force. Those guys are doing some seriously impressive work. I mean, this is not just one exploit. This was a whole series of exploits. So this was probably sponsored by nation states.
And there was no model of iPhone that was immune to this.
That's crazy.
And presumably still isn't.
I wonder if this is how GrayKey did their thing. Because remember, it's like maybe it doesn't go through the USB port anymore. It's like you just got to get it to go to a web page. But the web page
has to get into it to go to the web page.
It's going to go to web pages on its own in the background, just like the Apple services and stuff. You just got to lie to it on the internet or on the network.
Oh, point the DNS at a different place?
Yeah.
I could just do that, right? You wouldn't need a machine for that. It'd be funny if that whole machine was just some kind of song and dance.
That would be kind of funny.
Remember that time that Apple was listening to people have sex and transcribing it? Well, they've changed their mind about that. Yikes. Not really.
Apple is turning Siri audio clip review off by default and bringing it in-house. So if it's going to be off by default, they're not, you know, who would opt into that?
Voyeurs or exhibitionists. They're the voyeurs. So instead of Indians listening to you have sex, you can have Californians.
That's not going
to
last
Americans.
Long.
American made. We need to bring jobs back to America.
We need to bring the sex listeners into America. Make America creepy again. We also talked last week about if you have one of the older model recalled MacBooks, can't get on a plane. But it turns out that airports, they can't really tell the difference.
Yeah.
And they're not going to bother to try to figure it out.
Airlines are banning all MacBooks in checked luggage, regardless of their recall status. It's like, oh, that's a MacBook. Can't be in your checked luggage. I don't trust having that expensive of a piece of technology in my checked luggage. How wealthy do you have to be to put something like that in your checked luggage?
And they also talked about some of them. I think there were more foreign ones, not ones in the U.S. They wouldn't even let you bring it on with you.
Wow.
The kind of people who do that are probably people who get drinks at the airport bar. We made that mistake.
You shouldn't have done that.
What'd you get?
I got a lemon drop martini, and husband got some sort of whiskey over the rocks, and it was $40.
Did you tell him, it's our honeymoon?
We did talk to the bartender, because she was asking why we were flying, and we told you we're going on our honeymoon, and then...
It should have been like, it's none of your business, pig.
Yeah, that would have been a good thing to do in the airport right before we boarded our flight.
Well, this one could also probably be an of the week, although this week we only have one of them.
Trojan Dropper malware found an Android app with 100 million downloads. This is, again, Google's security team. I think it was Google's security team. The analysis pattern of how they find this is interesting. They look at applications that have a lot of downloads, that have a high rating that all of a sudden don't have a high rating, and then investigate those applications. And sure enough, that pattern was with this application. You take a picture with your phone, and it, you know, de-skews it and turns it into a clean scan of that document. It got malware.
Cam Scanner is the name of it. And it was another one of these situations where it's not, the developers aren't the ones that did it. They didn't want this, but it happened. I think, was it a library?
Yeah, it was a library that
infected
was
the library. So there's so many downstream parts, even in software these days, that you never know which one that they're going to get to. Might be the cellular radio that the CIA hacks into and ships to you. That's kind of what a library is. And finally, we have this week's big ransomware story.
Oh, no.
And so they've been going after schools. They've been going after state, you know, government type things. And big business has always been in the crosshairs. But they found an exciting new vector.
Ransomware has hit hundreds of dentist offices in the U.S. A ransomware group gains access to the dental software backend, deploys ransomware on customer systems. So this company that was targeted by the malware people was a managed service provider, an MSP. And what that is basically you outsource your technology to a managed service provider and they do all the stuff. So the malware was literally installed by the managed service provider's console that they use for deploying patches and making sure machines are up to date. So that was bad.
Yeah, it didn't matter how good your dentist office IT security was. It could be absolutely perfect, hermetically sealed digitally, and it didn't matter because you were paying these other people and they got in. Of course, you're going to give them access.
Yeah.
Now, because of that, this company, Perksoft, they paid the ransom. You got to wonder how much that was.
Yeah, it's probably a lot.
That was a lot of dentist offices.
I guarantee the hackers knew exactly what they had done.
Yeah, so they paid... it was two kinds of software. I think they had to pay two ransomwares. And they built a decryption tool, which they shipped out to all the dentists. But the dentists are saying it's not working in every case.
Yeah, some of the dentists are like, I didn't get back all my files. And that's how a lot of this malware uses a rotating key. So unless you get all of the keys or all of the keys are saved properly, you're screwed. You're completely screwed.
And so is little Timmy, who... you know, needed a root canal, and now we'll never know.
Gonna have to redo all his x-rays.
All I can think about, I'm trying to think of, like, some sort of pun we can use for a title about the elf that wanted to be a dentist in the Rudolph universe, but I can't remember the name of the elf now, and it's really bothering
Isn't
me.
Isn't it Herbie or Hermie?
Hermie wants to be a dentist.
Hermie wants to decrypt his files?
Yeah.
Pretty sure that everybody wants to, like, not have encrypted files. That'd be nice. This company was also responsible for backups. So they were, you know, I don't know, maybe the companies that couldn't recover their malware, maybe the host company will have backups.
Let's restore your backup. Oh, wait.
That gives me heartburn just thinking about that, because it's just like, oh, what a nightmare.
And what an unpleasant thing. Even if the dentist office calls you up and they're like, listen, this is our fault. This is no cost to you, but we're going to have to do all that again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rough. Well, that's all we got for security. Friday, we will do robots and nonsense.
The two best sections.
That's a very long set of news this week.
Not quite an hour this time.